painfully acquired. Alcohol had been a dreadfully repugnant thing, more nauseous than any psychic. Even now, I did not like the taste of it. I drank it only for its kick. And from the age of 5 to that of 25, I had not learned to care for its kick. 20 years of unwilling apprenticeship had been required to make my system rebelliously tolerant of alcohol, to make me, in the heart and the deeps of me, desirous of alcohol. I sketched my first contacts with alcohol, told of my first intoxications and revulsions, and pointed out always the one thing that in the end had won me over, namely the accessibility of alcohol. Not only had it always been accessible, but every interest of my developing life had drawn me to it. A newsboy on the streets, a sailor, a miner, a wanderer in far lands, always where men came together to exchange ideas, to laugh and boast and dare, to relax, to forget the dull toil of tiresome days and nights, always they came together over alcohol. The saloon was the place of congregation. Men gathered to it as primitive men gathered about the fire of the squatting place or the fire at the mouth of the cave. I reminded Charmaine of the canoe houses from which she had been barred in the South Pacific, where the kinky-haired cannibals escaped from their womankind and feasted and drank by themselves, the sacred precincts taboo to women under pain of death. As a youth, by way of the saloon, I had escaped from the narrowness of woman's influence into the wide, free world of men. All ways led to the saloon. The thousand roads of romance and adventure drew together in the saloon, and thence led out and on over the world. The point is, I concluded my sermon, that it is the accessibility of alcohol that has given me my taste for alcohol. I did not care for it. I used to laugh at it. Yet here I am at the last, possessed with the drinker's desire. It took 20 years to implant that desire, and for 10 years more that desire has grown. And the effect of satisfying that desire is anything but good. Temperamentally, I am wholesome-hearted and merry. Yet when I walk with John Barleycorn, I suffer all the damnation of intellectual pessimism. But, I hasten to add, I always hasten to add, John Barleycorn must have his due. He does tell the truth. That is the curse of it. The so-called truths of life are not true. They are the vital lies by which life lives, and John Barleycorn gives them the lie. Which does not make toward life, Charmaine said. Very true, I answered. And that is the perfectest hell of it. John Barleycorn makes toward death. That is why I voted for the amendment today. I read back in my life and saw how the accessibility of alcohol had given me the taste for it. You see, comparatively few alcoholics are born in a generation. And by alcoholic, I mean a man whose chemistry craves alcohol and drives him resistlessly towards it. The majority of habitual drinkers are born not only without desire for alcohol, but with actual repugnance toward it. Not the first, nor the 20th, nor the 100th drink succeeded in giving them the liking. But they learned, just as men learn to smoke, though it is far easier to learn to smoke than to learn to drink. They learned because alcohol was so accessible. The women know the game. They pay for it, the wives and sisters and mothers. And when they come to vote, they will vote for prohibition. And the best of it is that there will be no hardship worked on the coming generation. No having access to alcohol, not being predisposed to alcohol. It will never miss alcohol. It will mean life more abundant for the manhood of the young boys born and growing up. Aye. And life more abundant for the young girls born and growing up, to share the lives of the young men.
Why not write all this up for the sake of the men and women coming? Charmaine asked. Why not write it so as to help the wives and sisters and mothers to the way that they should vote?
The memoirs of an alcoholic, I sneered. Or rather, John Barleycorn sneered, for he sat with me there at table in my pleasant philanthropic jingle, and it is a trick of John Barleycorn to turn the smile to a sneer without an instant's warning.
No, said Charmaine, ignoring